This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about workforce brewing and a whole bunch of rooftop parties that Nick hit up, including this pretty awesome one that Brooklyn Brewery put on. And then we dive into a ton of events happening this weekend.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to cork locked out. Boop, the theater flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's going on, man? I'm Nick White.
And if you're a first-time listener, you're in for a lot of beer talk.
Yeah, man. We got out a little bit last week, man.
What we do here on the podcast is we talk about some beer we're drinking, talk about the beer we were drinking this past week, and then the events and news that's been happening or coming up this week.
Yeah.
Let's kick things off with what we are drinking now.
Right on. So this is Workforce Brewing Company. Work. W-E-R-K. Mm-hmm. They are out in the West Burbs. Oh, Plainfield. They're out in Plainfield. Yeah. Home of the...
Just right around the corner from downtown Plainfield.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So not on like the main strip where like Finnegan's was, like kind of like a strip over.
The Plainfield... The Midwest Brewers Fest in Plainfield is where I met a lot of people that I ended up being really cool with, the Sovereign guys, and okay. And then these guys, the Workforce guys, that was a fun party, man. I just recall being out there for like 8 hours straight.
Oh, nice.
Hanging out in Plainfield, man. And yeah, ever since then I've been back for like the Bird Joint and all that kind of stuff out there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. It's a little bit of a hike out there, but they just opened up their new tap room. They were brewing at Chicago Brew Works, which was like next door to their old like little tiny tap room where they just had like a tasting room.
Yeah.
So now they got some cans. You can do growlers to go. So yeah, I'll dive into a little more of them because that's where I was at this weekend.
And I feel like they're I feel like that was their homebrew shop, the one you just
named. Chicago Brew Works.
Yeah, I feel like that's
possibly.
I feel like that's the same crew.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is the beer called formerly known as, and it's a dry hopped IPA.
Right on.
Double dry hopped IPA. I don't know, does it say how big this is? It doesn't taste like it's that.
No, whatever hops they're using, they don't have those really big. Is it the alpha acids that are, whatever gives you the big, that hop mouth, like really bold, bitter flavors?
Right.
It's subdued, those flavors.
So I'm digging this. Cool. I feel like that's just like the lead in then to talk about going to Workforce.
All right.
So originally I hit you up about the burger place out there.
Burger Antics.
There's Burger Antics, but then I went to Crusade.
Oh, yeah, Crusade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Chad is, I think, the owner or manager there. I'm not sure his title. He used to be the manager over at Small Bar Division.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So ran into him there. The burgers were pretty solid. They're kind of like Kuma-esque.
Right.
Then they have like some really cool artwork on the wall.
Artwork is killer out there.
Amazing beer selection, like crazy beer selection. They had 18th Street on draft out there.
Really?
Like, I'm like, I don't even see 18th Street on draft in Chicago.
Yeah, so
like,
yeah, that's true.
He's like, yeah, we're the only place like out this far that has it. They had the Fox and the Goat.
Yeah, the one they did with Gary Valentine from Girl and the Goat.
Mm-hmm. But that was pretty good. Food was great. The place wasn't like too packed, even though they tried to say it was like a 40-minute wait, and then we just sat down like right away. Do you know who I am?
Yeah, man, that's one of those bars, man, where it's surprisingly like really well put together. I feel like when you're there, I feel like, man, this would be a good bar even if it was in the city.
Yeah,
like, this is a really nice space.
Mm-hmm. It's huge too. They have a ski ball, or not ski ball. They have I got ski ball on the mind. Yeah, they got shuffleboard.
What's your team name again?
Are you skiing this?
You're the ski ball league of a gal.
They got a shuffleboard table, pinball. They have a really nice outdoor like patio. Mm-hmm. We were sitting inside, so didn't enjoy the nice weather that we've been having.
Right on, man. Cheers to Misfit Jason, Jason Thalman. I know he's one of the managers out there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of those guys I knew from when I, way back in early 2010.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. But then I was looking up for just another place to go with my aunt and uncle and my mom, and Workforce Brewing didn't look like it was far.
Yeah.
It was like Workforce and Metal Monkey is another one like out that way. So I was like, oh, let's go to Workforce. And they weren't really open.
Okay.
But it just happened to, we happened to luck out that Saturday was their soft opening for their new tap room. So now,
here you go.
Now they're open, but not usually they are not open prior to this.
They're like, yeah, I guess we're open.
Yes, you can come by. I'm all the way out in Plainfield. They never make it this far.
You're good for going to places, and they're just like, not open.
Yeah, I know. I would have been right? Yeah. But yeah, they were open. Got to try some of their beer. They do sodas there.
Okay, right on.
And they have a kombucha, so I guess a lot of people do Radlers.
Yeah.
They don't really have them on the menu, and they should put these on the menu because I spent like 20 minutes talking to the guy about what do people do? What beers do they put in the Radler? He's like, well, some people go like 50-50. Some people go 25-75. And I'm like, dude, like, just give me one that you think is good. Like, I don't, whatever I make up, it's going to be bad.
Dealer's choice. Yeah. Just pick two and whatever you've been drinking.
I'm going to put the like Oktoberfest and kombucha together. That doesn't sound good.
Fuck it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like the time I mixed Matilda with, I don't know why I did it, but I had tequila and I had like a Matilda, like a 3-year-old Matilda. And it was one of the worst decisions I made all year.
Yeah. Sometimes you just do stupid stuff with like beer
you got the option to
and
mix.
Food. You're like, maybe if I mix mayonnaise and ice cream, we can, no. And then you're like, that was dumb. I ruined both these things.
Got leadership to people that do it.
But did they recommended a Radler and ended up having one that was pretty good. Had a handful of their other beers, right, some like taster flights. The brewery part isn't open yet. I think they're waiting on license and everything to start brewing there.
Yeah.
But you could kind of see what's happening from the tap room. It's a huge space, just all around really nice. And it was busy for being a soft open, which is a great sign for them to come because, it seemed like people were like looking for a place like that because there's nothing else out there.
Yeah. So this is because if you're in Plainfield, you're like, you're past Downers Grove and Naperville and all that stuff. It's just, it's past those, right?
Yeah. Like you're better out. Like when we came back, we ended up taking like a 55 back into the city. So like you would do like 88 and 290 if you're in like Downers Grove, Naperville. But so you're farther west or south, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because Plainfield is definitely south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joliet, Romeoville, that's all I can remember.
Mm-hmm. But really awesome. I'm glad I picked up a 4-pack. Figured I'd just bring the beer along, bring it home.
It's a good choice. And then I've actually never had their stuff outside of like, you know, a festival. I know they did good work at FOBAB, this last FOBAB.
Yeah.
I think I want to say they picked up a gold medal in one of those categories.
Oh, maybe. And I was kind of like, who are those guys?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll keep sipping on this formerly known as, and that was really my week besides hitting up a guy. They're almost done with their APAs.
Yeah.
Talked to Kevin for a bit. He said, yeah, we just happen to have a lot right now. It just happened. But they might have some new stuff on because they had that Oktoberfest over the weekend.
Yeah, Oktoberfest was over the weekend. Block Party was over the weekend. I don't think, do you know anything about what happened down there?
No, I don't know.
What else was it? Oh, Zwanza Day was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I missed all of these.
Yeah.
So just throwing them out because it was perfect. Like the return of summer this weekend in Chicago. Big 80 degree days.
So good for these block parties, and we didn't go to any of them.
No. I did spend some time on rooftops.
Oh, okay.
Chicago Gourmet was this week. So for some reason, like a lot of mixologists were in town, you know, doing presentations and partying. So, I was on 4 rooftops. We'll start with Celeste. That's in River North. That was the Cointreau soiree that we talked about when I was leaving the studio last week. Yeah. Nothing really to report there, man. They're cool sidecars, right? Like, you know, that's cognac. And then the Cointreau is the French orange liqueur. Right, okay. You get a little lime, sugar on the rim, boom, you're ready to party. But then, like, it was one of those parties where it was like a little too packed, and then there you couldn't really find, outside the bartenders helping you out, you couldn't really find a lot of Cointreau folks.
Okay,
To dive into Cointreau. So, but this it was a fun space. Nice. I like rooftops.
Yeah.
I went to the Lyric Opera House, man.
On the roof.
On the roof. They got a rooftop. Did you know? Apparently, man, Peapod is based in the Lyric Opera House.
The delivery company?
Yeah, the delivery company. Okay. They're a Chicago company. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's tech companies based there. Apparently, there's a lot going on other than just like, you know,
shows.
I saw the Alabama Shakes there, one of the best shows I've ever seen. But that was the last time I was at that place. Oh, but the Lyric Opera House, Jim Beam, Suntory event. So Jim Beam is Effin' Vodka, Basil Hayden at Maker's Mark. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Beam stuff. They had their master mixologist there making things on the rooftop. That was cool. Oh, and then, but I really got into this Balavini scotch. There's a master's class. So we left the rooftop and went to the Mag Mile to a hotel to party on their rooftop.
What was with the rooftops this week?
I don't know, man. I'm blaming Chicago Gourmet. Because every time you talk to one of these guys, they're like, yeah, you know, we're here partying, right? Uh-huh. We're here partying for this event. So, and Chicago Gourmet is in Millennium Park, and that's like the big showcase of restaurants for the city.
Yeah.
Right? Every fall. Right? Oh, so, but the Conrad was really interesting, man. It was 12, 14, 17, and 21-year scotch. Oh, cool. Right? The 12-year was, I believe, rum cask. And then the 14-year was sherry cask, yeah.
Oh, cool.
But he was going through this really cool explanation about, you know, man, what am I trying to say? Oh yeah, how like the, you know, everything is aged in the scotch barrels with peat, and you know scotch barrels are like they're old whiskey barrels. Everything's American whiskey barrels that they get over, and that's where scotch begins.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it sits in there for like 10 years, and then it's finished for like 9 months in like a sherry cask.
Okay.
Or a whiskey or a rum cask, and he's pointing out the differences, right? That was a really cool party.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, but the beer rooftop I landed on was the Brooklyn Beer Mansion.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw you put out some pictures on Instagram from that.
Yeah.
What was the deal with that?
That was a great party. They had four distinct rooms, you know, so like the Tart of the Tropics, like all their fruit-inspired or sour ales is on the roof. And then, you know, in the basement, everything that's 10% or higher was in the basement, right? So the cool part is, like, you would, all these guests, drafts, you know, like Mars or Hopewell, like, you would see those guys floating around the party, and Brooklyn was, like, pouring their beers for them.
Oh, neat.
So they were there. You know, you turn around, and you're like, hey, there's a Hopewell guys right here.
Yeah.
And they're like, have you seen our beer? I'm like, yeah, squad's in the basement because it's over 10%. You know, I really dug this party, man, because of the four levels, but then also because there was karaoke there. There were pinball games there. You know, each level had a theme, and there were Chicago bands on the roof, along with like four or five Chicago restaurants.
Jeez.
It was a party and a half, man.
Sounds awesome.
Friday session was sold out. Yeah, but talking about Brooklyn, man, they have a very odd. We were trying to place them, compare them to a Chicago brewery, and the obvious, we thought like Two Brothers would be a better comparison because they have like this wide range,
maybe
of you know beers that aren't really trying to be aggressive. They pair very well with food, you know, and that's kind of their calling, is that they're very approachable styles regardless of style.
Yeah.
With some exceptions, you know, I mean,
could
like
see that.
Black Ops is, you know, Black Ops or something, but
yeah, but Two Brothers has like Hop Juice or Hop Centrics is
yeah,
called, so
that's true.
You know, they have their extremes a little bit,
so there's some exceptions for sure, but the way they party, these guys, and the way they brand, it reminds you more of Goose.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then they're super old. I think they started the same year Goose did. The surprising thing about these guys, man, 40% of all their beer goes to Norway. But then also, did you know they have six sister breweries now? So,
in like they're for brewing their beer?
Yeah, brewing their beer, but then brewing beer relevant to the country that they're in. So the first project was in New Carnegie, which was in Stockholm, which was a brewery at one point that they kind of reinvigorated and rebranded, right? But now they have breweries in Norway, South Korea, Hong Kong, London, and Lithuania, man.
So 40% of their beer is in Norway.
Right.
Then, like, what percent, do you know what percent is, like?
It sounds like they have some brands that that travel worldwide. And then they have some brands that they make here that they send over that are exclusive to some countries. But for the most part, they're partnering with the local beer scene and making beers relevant to the country that they're in. Because apparently the founders are like really big world travelers.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, I've never heard anything like this. I mean, Goose Island puts up, you know, tasting rooms in other countries, right? That's the only thing I can compare this to. But these are full-on breweries, and, you know, when you
probably
look at...
Probably like the Stone kind of idea.
Yeah, it's more of the Stone model. And when you look at the branding for some of, like, the Hong Kong stuff, it has, you know, fonts similar to what you'd find on Brooklyn stuff, but it's in, you know...
Chinese.
It's in Chinese,
hmm.
Right? It's cool, man. This is their way of expanding, right?
Well, yeah, because I don't... Like, not to discredit Brooklyn at all, but I don't think their beer sells in the rest of the United States very well. Like, it's Brooklyn. It's New York. It has a theme. It has a stigma no matter where you are. So
yeah.
It's you're not necessarily going to sell, like we've talked about that before, we're not going to sell Brooklyn beer in Chicago very well. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And then they're in Williamsburg, which is like ground zero for like all things cool.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn Vice is right across the street from them. And, you know, they were moving from their location in Williamsburg, but the new developers worked out some kind of deal where, the new developers, they changed their view on having like big distribution centers in there. So like a certain percentage of distribution centers are allowed in the area now.
Okay.
So they, instead of like moving to like the river, they decided to stay where they are.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But then you probably, like the beer probably sells pretty well in that area. They probably have to compete with Sam Adams a little bit, probably because it's a similar group of people that are probably drinking Brooklyn and Sam Adams. In my mind, the mainstream like core beers of Brooklyn are probably within line of the Sam Adams.
Yeah, I think we were talking to Jordan, who's the local rep for them, Jordan Huber, and he was saying how you know, I want to say London and Boston, New York, and Norway, those are their top markets.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't think that their beer probably sells very well on this past the west of Mississippi at all. Like. It's just why, right?
Yeah.
But it's not to discredit their beer, because it is good beer.
Yeah.
That Sriracha Ace is like, I think, beer fans, like one of their favorite beers. Like,
yeah. I love Sriracha Ace. I love Brooklyn 1 and 2, local 1 and local 2. Mm-hmm. I think those are great if I ever have to go to like a BYOB restaurant. Yeah. They got some moves. My favorite beer there that night was they have something called the Improved Old Fashioned. So it's a beer modeled after an old fashioned.
Oh, cool.
It was aged in whiskey barrels. I really dug that. Yeah. And that was a killer fucking party. They said they were excited. They were like, man, this is probably the coolest thing we'll do all year. You know, like in every city. They did this party in five cities. And the one they get excited the most about is the Mansion.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because it's a full submersion of, you know, their culture, their branding and their beers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cool. Was that your last rooftop then that you made it to?
That was the last rooftop I did. And one more thing. I went up to Gurnee for Only Child Brewing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so CBG, they convinced me to go away up there.
Right,
Chicago Beer Geeks. Chicago Beer Geeks, the website. So I went up there, man.
You guys recorded an episode, right?
Yeah, so video pod like once a month, right? And we're talking to the guys, and I knew nothing about Only Child. Their beers are really good, man. So apparently they're from Lindenhurst, which is a town over from Gurnee. They're basically, you know, born and bred in the North Burbs.
Okay.
Their original location was in Northbrook, but it was only like 500 square feet. Now this place has like 4,000 square feet. Nice, proper space. I ran into the Bermiscuous guys up there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so he's got the Bermiscuous van. It's like all, you know, beer miscuous out.
That's
got
awesome.
You know, they got the rap on it, and you know he's they're selling the books to
the field guides. Yeah,
yeah, they're selling them to all the breweries at like wholesale cost, and giving them a chance to mark it up and sell it at all the breweries, which is you know, pretty smart actually. Yeah, and Only Child. Oh, so we're like, well, yo, where did you get your start? Is this your first project? He's like, no, actually, I used to be a beer manager for a bar on the Northwest Side, and he was the first account for Beguile.
Oh, wow, okay.
So he's like, he turned that opportunity into brewing with Beguile, and that's when he fell in love with the brewing side, and he's like, you know what, I really need to open a brewery. And so it's a husband and wife duo. And their beers, man, their beers are legit. They're very clean, they're very easy drinking.
Nice.
I was a lot more excited once I got there than I was going up, going
in,
up
it's
there.
It's in Gurnee.
Yeah, it's in Gurnee.
Okay, so a little bit of a hike, but yeah. it's almost equivalent to going to Plainfield.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, you're probably about the same amount of time, maybe a little farther than Gurnee, maybe. Yeah. But
yeah, it's on the edge. It was a good one. They had a, they really like, they have a Weller barrel-aged Imperial Stout.
Weller.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Weller is one of the Buffalo Trace brands. Okay. So there's no difference between the Weller, the actual recipes, there's no difference between Weller and Pappy Van Winkle. The only difference is the Van Winkles, when you, and it's all made at Buffalo Trace. The only difference is the Van Winkles get to pick which lot that their barrels age on.
Okay.
Other than that, Weller and Pappy are the exact same juice. It's the exact same recipe. Yeah.
So you probably couldn't tell the difference if you were drinking. Maybe. Yeah,
you know, poor, they call Weller, like one of the Wellers is like a poor man's Pappy, basically. Okay. It's a fraction of the price. It's really good.
Yeah, and we were talking about how expensive that was, I think, either last week or 2 weeks ago. So
Pappy's out of control. I think the 20, what is it, 25 or 26, I think that's on its own plane. But you can find a Weller equivalent to the Rip Van Winkle, which is the Pappy 10-year. You can find a Weller equivalent. They're about the same.
Nice.
Now we're talking about whiskey, man. You get me excited, man.
I know. Well, you were drinking coffee. You, like, drank everything this past week. Scotch.
It was a bizarre week, man.
Weird French liqueur, beer.
Yeah.
Needed like a Negroni slushy in there. That's what you needed.
That'd have been clutch. That'd be clutch today. That's not a bad idea, man. You head over to Parsons after this. Hey, but they were talking about the one of their like one of their brewers came in from Trefontaine. So they got invited to a party in Antwerp. It's called like Billy's International Beer Fest.
Okay. Right?
And there's 40 international brewers, there's Founders, there's Stone. And then there's these guys, Only Child. And you know, they're right there with all the Belgian breweries and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, how the fuck does this happen for you? And he's like, man, you know, there was a brewer that came in off the street that worked at, you know, Trefontaine. And he came in and he really needed a job because I think his like visa had expired over in Belgium.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll work for free, I'll do whatever you want. I just have to brew, right?
Yeah.
So he got these guys, they got this guy in, he starts brewing. And then he gets his visa situation straightened out. He takes their beer over to Belgium, and the Belgians are like, this shit's amazing. We're gonna fly you out. Come party with us. It's so bizarre. I thought it was the most interesting piece, and we didn't get this until like, you know, you get the good stuff after like four or five beers, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah. So we're going to party. And there's 40 breweries invited to this international fest in December in Antwerp, and Only Child is on this roster. It's really cool. We're gonna post a photo to the IG so you can see a list of all these breweries.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. That was the coolest part of the trip for me. That was a great time. If you're up or up that way, I think it's a stop to hit.
That's awesome. That just shows like how important it is to be like nice and just help people out. It's like what there's like that. I think it's like a story about like helping out, like basically Jesus, kind of like, oh, this old lady comes to your house and like, oh no, I'm waiting for Jesus to come, right. And like turns away and then, you know, stuff. And that was, so, you know, so it's like, oh, you never know what's going
to
happen.
You never know. Yeah. This guy's like, yeah, you don't know me, but listen, I really need to work here.
I just need to brew. Like, I got the itch. Just
and
like,
an open, yeah, it's, you know, now they're in a completely different audience now because of that. So, but yeah, Only Child Brewing, man. This is a cool spot.
Yeah, and their logo is pretty nice too. And so, yeah, cool.
Yeah, look. And they're all about, you know, he's like they're all about like he said Batman is the only superhero because they have like some superhero like artwork.
Batman's barely a superhero. I hate to say it, but he's not. He's just a guy with gadgets.
I guess he's the only superhero.
He's like James Bond. He's like
yeah.
He's the cartoon James Bond. Hey, I'm sorry.
Now he's going to hear this and be like, I have a strongly worded email for you.
Your beers are good, but Batman's not a superhero. He's cool.
Yeah. So.
He's got no superpowers.
But man, that was a fun trip, man. I had a good time up there, man.
Awesome. So everyone should, if you can make your way up to Gurnee, do it. Well, that was our week then.
Yes.
We should dive into events happening this week. What do we got on the calendar?
Let's do it, man. Let's start with Thursday. Thursday's the 28th. The Chicago Engineering Foundation, Brad, they're hosting an event called Building Brews. So they're going to take a science and technical look behind local Chicago breweries. So they got 12 breweries coming out. This is at the Union Club of Chicago, wherever the hell that is. I'm not sure where that is.
No, I'm not sure.
This is a $50 ticket. It's a fundraiser. And yeah, they're inviting 12 breweries to come out and have like a panel discussion about beer and science and technology and, you know, how those worlds all cross. So that ought to be a good time. That's on Thursday the 28th at 5:30 p.m.
Nice. We should have got invited.
Yeah. That sounds fun, right?
Yeah. We could talk about science and beer and tech.
I'm all about tech and science. Not really so much science.
More tech.
More tech and even more beer. More beer than tech. We could talk tech if we have to,
yeah,
but we prefer to talk about beer. What else is going on this weekend? West Loop, man. West Loop is popping. Fulton Harvest Fest is going to be there. They got 14 bands. That's more of a restaurant showcase. Not really a lot of booze, but there are like four breweries in West Loop. So, you know.
And there's Emporium opening there.
Yeah, Emporium's opening there. Bloody Mary Fest is this weekend. That's at the Theater on the Lake. That's 11 to 4. That's a Brian Ferber event. Brian used to run Beer Hoptacular.
Man, Bloody Mary Fest. That sounds awesome. I don't know if I could drink like 2 Bloody Marys. It's probably like my max.
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying Bloody Marys lately with bourbon. The bourbon on Division Street guys, they got one with bourbon, I think. And some folks are taking really creative spins on bourbon. There's going to be food there. It's going to be brunch there.
Yeah.
And it's on the and it's probably a good weekend to be at the Theater on the Lake. Theater on the Lake is the when you get to Fullerton and Lakeshore Drive up.
Oh, cool. Okay.
That's where that space is.
Yes, check that out. Probably like winding down on like really nice weekends in Chicago. So
yeah,
go hit that up.
Josh Seago is he keeps that train rolling. The Lyle Ale Fest is from 4 to 8 on Saturday, the 30th. Yeah, and then also on Saturday is the Chicago Bacon and Beer Classic. That's moving locations. That was at Soldier Field last year.
Okay.
This year it's at the Daly Center.
Okay.
Yeah, not as righteous.
No, not as righteous.
That's that stupid Picasso picture and all those federal buildings and shit over on Dearborn.
I'm sure there's probably a game happening, right? Or like maybe they might play the next day. I know they played at Soldier Field this weekend.
Yeah, they played Pittsburgh this weekend.
So I don't know if they're there again or they have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I like the beer and bacon thing. It's cute, but the draw was that it was at Soldier Field.
Right.
For me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Daly Center, $55 ticket, 1 to 4 session, 6 to 9 session. So a lot going on this weekend. Oh, and we haven't even gotten to the big ones, man.
Yeah, there's the Oktoberfest at Rev. That's a 2-day event, right?
Yeah, 2-day event. And this is the first time they're taking it away from their production facility right in front of the brew pub on Milwaukee Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So... Revolution, man, the largest independent craft brewery in the state.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to hit this up. I think this is just gonna be like a crazy party, and I think you gotta see it because Rev goes all out all the time.
They do know how to party.
Yeah,
I enjoy a Revolution party, man.
And that it's free and kind of open to everyone.
Yeah,
it's gonna be nuts. I just have a feeling it's gonna be nuts over there.
I'm excited because that's an active. It's a couple doors down from that Stranger Things pop up bar.
Yeah,
you know that strip of Milwaukee is pretty hopping anyway.
Yeah,
so I think this is gonna be a good weekend over there.
Mm-hmm. And then out in the suburbs.
Yeah, out in Geneva, beautiful Geneva, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Is at Penrose they have a Sour Fest.
Yeah, it's time to get wild, man. So this is the 30th. That's 1 to 5. So this is Penrose Celebration of the Funk. It's their first party. So like we talked about last week, if you want a VIP 4-course dinner, there's a pre-party Friday night. So that's a $145 ticket. That includes the dinner Friday and access to Saturday.
Okay.
But if you just want to party on Saturday, it looks like there's 2 options. VIP is 80, general admission 60.
All right.
Yeah. And yeah, they're not fucking around, man. It looks like they're bringing like 30 breweries to this thing. All the usual suspects, man. You know, Upland Workforce is going to be there. You know, Winer, even guys like Distill and the Funk Factory Guzieria. I like that name.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah. Microphone off color. You can go to the website for all the deets. So
cool. Check that out. I think that's going to be a great event. But a lot of beers probably that you can't get your hands on.
Yeah. Sourfest are really cool. I went to the Upland one.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it, man.
And the train, if you're coming from Chicago, it's really easy to take the train to Geneva and just like they're like a few blocks, maybe like a 5-minute walk from the train. It depends on how fast you walk too, but yeah.
Train is definitely the option going way out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. Is that all?
There's a lot going on, bud.
That's all the events?
I think that's all the events, man.
Well, then we should wrap it up here with some news before we get out of here.
Cool. Let's dive into some news, man.
We should kick it off with our news. This is 4 years of Chicago Beer Pass.
Are you kidding me? When you said that, I was like, dude, see, that went by way too quick, man.
Yeah, so we've been doing the show for 4 years now. Every week, new episodes going up on the website. Yeah. Usually we only miss if we're out of town, vacations, holiday, things like that. But most of the time, every week.
Yeah, you mentioned that we're in the current studio for 2 years. Yeah. So I guess we did 2 years over at at the other spot. We've had some really cool episodes. We talked about Half Acre. The Jonathan Cutler piece was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed when the FOBAB guy, well, the ex-4 FOBAB guys now, Gary Valentine and Justin Maynard came on.
And then we filled out this room with Bader Brow with Justin Maynard there. And,
Brow came out. the local tourist has been on the show. You know, we shot at Lynx. We shot at Temperance. You know, we've been a bunch of parties, you know, Chicago Beer Pass related parties. We've hit a bunch of parties. It's been a fun ride, man.
Yeah, so.
I can't believe it's 4 years. Yeah,
cheers.
Crazy,
cheers
man.
To that.
Right on.
So that's our news. So that's pretty exciting. I guess thanks for everyone that's been listening too.
Yeah,
so.
Man. And we always get to meet people who are like, yeah, you know, I heard the show this week. I'm like, hell yeah, that's fucking cool, yeah. Man. Especially like, you know, yeah, people who like make beer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you get excited because we're fans. You know, mm-hmm. we're fans. So we dig it.
So thanks. But so then other at. Beer news besides us, what's been happening?
We talked about Emporium. Emporium's opening their third city location in West Loop. They're moving into the Betty. I don't know if you ever went to the Betty.
I dug the Betty.
Dude, it was sexy time up in there, dude. I love that space, man.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this is an arrangement with the Betty. The Betty owns the building, and their tenant is going to be Emporium is what it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's like, I want to say next door to the Publican, right?
Right. So I dig and I don't dig this. Like... The Betty was great, and I felt like the Betty fit in with the West Loop really well, but then the Emporium, it's just like, I think it's going to keep people in the West Loop more than maybe the Betty would. Like,
yeah.
It brings a little different crowd, but also like it gives you more stuff to do besides, oh, let's go eat at an expensive restaurant and drink expensive cocktails.
Yeah, this definitely brings another wrinkle to the area. You know, Brooklyn Bowl, which is kind of like, you know, it's what it sounds like, you know, there's like an entertainment center around bowling. They made plans to go over there too.
Oh, they did.
So, you know, you're starting to see the neighborhood shift a little bit to add like full on entertainment spaces versus fine dining, right?
Because Google's there. That's a lot of people.
Google needs to party, man.
Yeah.
You know, so good for them, man. So that's, they're flirting with San Francisco too. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Emporium open in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And the Stranger Things pop-up thing is out of control. People are, friends were saying they waited 90 minutes in line on Friday to get it.
Well, they kind of got extra boost of publicity from Netflix this past like
with the cease and desist.
Yeah. They knew that was going to happen. They were like hoping that would happen. I guarantee that. That was a.
Yeah. Because everyone who went there is going to be the radar for the next one. And, you know, we were talking, we went to Half Acre, ran into Jonathan Sherrod and Beer Princess, and they were saying, like, what kind of turnaround do you have to have? Like, they're probably plotting out and designing the new one, the next pop-up now.
What?
Right? You look at the, from Run the Jewels, which was the previous one, from Run the Jewels to Stranger Things was like a week?
Yeah, but you've been in there. It's the same place every time. It's just a different color light. Oh, it's gold lights for Run the Jewels, and now they got red lights for Stranger. Like, I like what they're doing, but it's not super impressive.
I will say this. No matter what you went to, whether it was Bottle Rocket or Pipeworks or whatever, the stage is always there. And then
and there's probably a video playing.
And then
there's a couch.
The deer head with the gold chain with the syrup in his mouth. He's always there.
Yeah, and so what? They probably put some Christmas lights around the deer head.
God, you're so.
I like it, but it's the same place. It's cool that they can do that, but it's the same place.
Like, we're not gonna boohoo. This is their highest profile project, so cheers to them. Oh man, what are we talking about, man? Oh, a little bit of little bit of news, man. And I don't know if this is news, but so we had an opportunity recently to interview Modelo. And I don't know if we, tell me if we talked about this, right?
I don't think we did.
All right. So yeah. So there's a, their PR firm, and shout out to PR firms. We love PR firms. They reached out and they said, hey, do you want to interview Modelo? Right. So we're like, all right, cool. So we sent them 18 questions. Yeah. They sent back like 9 of the questions, and we're going to post this. We'll probably post it. We'll post it to Beer Pass. We'll post it to the website. But you know, it's Modelo, and I had a Modelo moment, you know, maybe in my 20s. I think we probably all did. It's a gateway drug for a lot of people.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a solid
beer. The Negro Modelo is an excellent beer.
The gold foil, you know, yeah. And you know, you feel like you're doing something when you drink Modelo versus, you know,
Corona.
Corona. Right. A little light, right. It's a little different. So, I brought it up because, like, when you see the interview, I want you to just, I'm asking anyone who listens, what kind of questions would they ask Modelo, right? Because I was asking, and I'll just give you an example of questions that were omitted, right? And it was like, hey, you know, where exactly in Mexico City is Modelo brewed? I wanted to know about the neighborhoods, the landscape, you know, I wanted to know about what kind of parties do you, as a brewmaster, do you like going to? Okay. You know, if I ask Pete Crowley that, I know exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there were some other questions, and more specifically, I mean, it wasn't a deep dive, but I was asking questions like, hey, you know, how does the current U.S. administration affect your brand? You know, I just reached out to everybody that I know and said, hey, man, I'm interviewing Modelo. I don't really drink Modelo, but what do you want to know? So this isn't just me. This is the consensus of, you know, our small network.
Yeah, that's probably an interesting question, how Corona and Modelo are doing in the current political climate.
Like, yeah, I mean, because
does
like,
that have an effect?
Yeah, and you know, their initial response was, you know, hey, we don't, and I, and, you know, I'm a Sox fan. I'm like, hey, you know, you guys are all over Sox Park. You know, can you tell us about some of these other sponsorships and how does that work? Because if you reach out to me and say, hey, a brewmaster wants to be interviewed, then you know, the brewmaster takes care of the product from, you know, its inception to the time it leaves the door to the product in the consumer's hands. Like that's all.
Right.
The experience ultimately falls on the brewmaster, right? So, you know, I kind of felt like, hey, man, this is, you know, this is fuckery. Like, don't fucking call me with this fuck shit, right? And, you know, I was just a little frustrated, right? So nothing against Modelo, but I just wanted to bring it up because when you see an interview, I want people to kind of chime in and say, hey, what would you ask Modelo?
Cool.
Oh, okay. But we interviewed Modelo, and it'll go on the website soon.
All right. So keep a lookout for that.
Yeah. Oh, one more bit of news, man. Whew. We're getting after it today.
Yeah.
All right. So Demon's Tap. Right down the street, they're partnering with A-Plus Tattoo. So they're doing a little hurricane relief and earthquake relief for Mexico City and Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So if you buy a drink or an entree at Demon's Tap, you get a ticket for a free tattoo.
What?
Yeah. You get a ticket for a free tattoo. They've already predetermined designs for you. And all the money goes to victims of hurricanes and earthquakes.
For how long?
This happens October 15th, sorry.
Oh, okay. So only that day.
Up to October 15th, and then you can go redeem.
So I could go right now and get some food.
Yes.
And it's going to go to the hurricane earthquake.
Yes. So you get food.
I don't have to get the tattoo.
You don't have to get the tattoo. Okay. You spend $60, you can get the drink, the food, the tattoo.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
That's kind of cool. Like, I feel like that's one good cause. And if you don't have a tattoo, I don't have a tattoo. So maybe it's like a way to get someone to be like, I just don't know what I get. At least this is like a good cause. I did something. So
it's a good cause. And they'll give you a list that you can pick from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can get your butterfly, maybe there like you go. Your skull.
Get your hop. You know, get your skull. I'd probably get a scorpion if that's an option.
Mm-hmm. You know? So. Squirt gun. I don't know.
Can you tattoo
I got a
this,
super soaker.
Can you tattoo this super soaker on my elbow and then put Chicago and Old English underneath it? Oh, man. Yeah, that's it for news, man.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, our four-year episode.
Yeah.
Nick, where can people find you when we're not recording here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. We mentioned the Instagram. Check that out. Always trying to post photos every week. It's fun when Nick and I post something the same day, because they're usually miles and miles apart.
That's fun, so, man, the range of happenings.
Right. So be sure to follow us up there. And then we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.